Well, good evening, everybody.
Amen.
Great to hear you. Great to be with you. My name is Ian, and I'll get Marge to come on up with me a moment.
Oh, gosh.
Just when you wanted to get comfortable, right?
Yeah.
There are just a few people in this room who we know. Mike and Chris, we have known for 10 plus years, I guess.
18.
I knew it was plus 10, right? But it's 18.
Wow.
Great. So, and it's because of their kind invite that we are here. And there is a lady in the room here across to my right who I've known for a whole load longer, since she was just a gorgeous little girl. She's now a gorgeous big girl. And she lives in Wetwang. Oh, you moved to Driffield, did you? Oh, how posh. But there's so many people that we don't know here. And so I thought the first thing to do, it'd be good to introduce ourselves. So my name is Ian, and as you can tell, I'm not from this part of the country. But this is Marge, who is. So why don't you share a little bit about yourself first?
I'm Marge. And as you can tell, I'm not from Wales. I'm from God's own county of Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And there's somebody I know, and he's from Yorkshire, and he loves Scarborough. And he said, I met the Lord on the beach the other day, and I said, what are you doing here? And God said back to me, I'm working from home, son. I'm working from home. So there you go. God has a Yorkshire accent. And so I don't know what else to say, really. Thank you for inviting us. I'm absolutely thrilled to see Emma over there. And hello to her lovely husband, who I've never met before. But we know Emma's family. I think we first met you when you must have been 12, and we moved to Leeds. And her and our daughter were like that. And our youngest son, who must be 12 years younger than you, actually, absolutely adored Emma. And now he's working in the same hospital as Emma. It's really amazing. But and Emma's mum and dad are such a godly couple. I'm only bigging you up because it's the only other person I know, as well as she. It is true, everything I say about Emma. So I think that's about it. We have 4 adult children, 8 grandchildren, who we absolutely love, and I tell the kids we should have had them first. And we've been married, I'm afraid I'll get it wrong, 36 years? Yeah, I got it right. He's much better at dates than I am. So I think that's about it, really. And we love God, and we love... And in our older years, older, not old, except we both have just got our bus passes. I've been in denial for a while, but Ian keeps looking up places we can go for free. Well, and but you know, we've led congregations, but in this new era, which Ian might touch on, I will touch on, is that God has really called us not just to the UK but to the continent of Europe, where we are a lot, to be a mum and dad to leaders. And it's amazing how many leaders just need mums and dads, spiritual mums and dads, and it's such a privilege to go in there and be a mum and dad. And we were in one in Munich a few weeks ago, and when it was taking us to the airport, the passengers said, we feel like mum and dad came. And it's such a privilege. So I think that's us, really.
Thanks, Marge. That was the real Marge. What you see is what you get.
That's my water.
We can really only share out of what we have known, experienced ourselves. Otherwise, it's theory. And we don't want theory. We honestly want authentic.
Yes.
We want the reality of God to flow in and through our lives, and as a result, to touch other people with the reality of who he truly is. And Our lives have been really quite radically changed as a result of the words that God has given us. I am so grateful that God is a speaking God. And that he didn't just once speak and that was it. He continues to speak. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, current, continual tense, out of the mouth of God. He's a speaking God. He's alive today, and therefore he wants to communicate, and he does communicate and speak to our hearts. And it means that our lives are not shaped by circumstances, they're shaped by his word. What is he saying? And my usual practice is at the end of every year, towards the back end of the year, I seek the Lord for what he wants to do the following year. In 2019, I was just inquiring the Lord about the following year, 2020. And he said to me, it's not going to be a new year. It's not even going to be a new decade. It's going to be a new era. And I had no idea. I had no idea what he was speaking about. Of course, just a few months later, lockdown occurred. The first lockdown. And one of the things that Marge and I did was to get out the prophetic words that had come to our lives in the previous however many years, and to say, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? And we were very honored that a number of statured prophetic ministries had prophesied into our lives. One of them being a guy from the States called Sean Bolts, who got our attention when he came to do a conference where we were based in Leicester. And we deliberately didn't tell him anything about our family. And because he moved so easily in the word of knowledge, he told us the name of two of our children and one of our grandkids. Prophesied about them. You know, when somebody does that, it gets your attention. And then he prophesied over us and said, you have seen your ministry in terms of the church. And God is saying, it's time to see your ministry in terms of the kingdom. And there are significant relationships that I have for you in this country that as you connect, the ministry of the kingdom is going to be increased. This was one of a number of prophetic words that came to us over these, I guess, last 10 years or so. And in 2020, as we before the Lord, it just dawns on me that now is the time for these to be implemented. And in being before the Lord, we realized that the Lord was asking us, as he had done in another prophetic word through another significant prophet, about laying down some stuff in order to embrace what God had for us. And at that time, we had been in Leicester for 25 years, had led a church there for that length of time. And, you know, when you've invested into a city for that length of time, you feel such a strength of connection and such a investment of your life and energy. And honestly, I was thinking that I would live there, die there, be buried there. But God began to say to me that these different prophetic words that had come were indicating that there was another season. He began opening up Abraham to me like never before, that at 75, which I'm not, at 75, he left all that he had ever known to go to a place that he had no idea where to go to, where he was going to. He knew far more about his past than he did about his future, and yet his most productive life was ahead of him, not behind him, as he was willing to hear the voice of the Lord, align with the voice of the Lord, be led by the Lord into a future that he had no idea about. And God was then applying to our lives this perspective of, it's not a new year, it's not a new decade, it is a new era. We realized laying things down in Leicester because there was something in the continent of Europe that God was wanting us to embrace and walk into. It meant selling up, and it was only after that we'd sold up that God began to make us aware that he was wanting to us to reposition geographically. And because of our son, our eldest boy that lives in Scarborough, and because of the things that God had been speaking as prophetically to us about connection with our grandkids, we realized that moving to Scarborough positioned us both with family and with the continent. Because as you know, having lived here, it's really easy to jump on a ferry at Hull and wake up the next morning in Holland. Yeah. And just 2.5 hours from Rotterdam is where our youngest son lives with his family, where we have church connections across there. And so it positions us to pour into the younger grandkids and to pour into the continent as well as this nation. And of course, it was in the middle of a pandemic, and so there were challenges. You know, just because God says, I'm opening a door for you, does not mean to say that everything goes hunky-dory, because it's a walk of faith. But what you can see is when God speaks, there is a grace, there is an empowerment, there is a faith, there is an anointing of Holy Spirit that comes that enables you to deal with the problems. And this is how it always works. This is how it worked with Abraham. There comes a promise. The promise was, you're going to have a boy. But after any promise that comes from God, it's tested by the problem. So this is where sometimes we miss the boat, because we become too consumed by the problem and we miss the promise. But once God speaks, what he says you can go to the bank with, because he doesn't speak casual words. He speaks words of identity, words of destiny, words of commissioning, and words of breakthrough for our lives and the lives of other people. Problems are just part of the scenery, because it causes us to reach into God even deeper, to take hold of him even more powerfully, that then he can release after the problem the provision. This is what happened to Abraham. He's down the track a while and he's not got a son. But eventually he encounters God, and God says to him, this time next year, you're going to have a boy. He's going to be called Isaac. He's going to make you laugh a lot. And after the promise and the problem came the provision. And so we just saw God opening a door for us to move to Scarborough. And as you can tell from my wife's description of this county, it's made her very happy to live in God's own county. The jury's out whether I believe it's God's own county or not, but even so, we are really glad to live here. And I believe that what we have done is to respond to the Lord and to be prophetic for the rest of the body of Christ. Not that you're to move to Scarborough, but honestly, God is wanting to place his body, his people, his church in a new place, first of all, internally. So that there's an adjustment of our hearts to him and to all that he's asking us to do, because there is nothing boring in God. There's no sense of rehashing what has been. He is the incredible creator, and he's breaking us into new dimensions of his creative expression, that we are coming into a fullness that we've never come into before. God wants us to be a prophetic people who are leaving somewhere to go somewhere, and that is a constant shift that's taking place. We are a people on a journey. We are a people on pilgrimage. And I believe God is saying to you guys, wherever you're from, he's asking you to step into the new era. Our challenge is that we are people of habit. Our challenge is we get used to what has been, and God is saying, would you lay it down, because I have something for you. Yeah. And really, it's nothing to do with age. It's to do with the age of your heart. It's to do with the flexibility inside of responsiveness out of love and adoration to Jesus that we respond into what he's saying to him. God is looking for a people who is willing to be led by him and his spirit into all that he's doing in these days. And as we got connected with these precious people that Sean Bolts told us about, we sought the Lord, and he made it abundantly clear. And one of them, John and Chris, they're based in Southampton, and Chris is a prophet. And As we were meeting together, we would be sharing with one another what God was saying. And I have always valued the prophets. I've always valued people that are authentically carrying the word of the Lord Amen. Into their generation. Yeah. God does nothing without revealing it, first of all, to the prophets. Yeah. I don't want to be around the flakies. I do want to be around the prophets. Yeah. And people who are prophetic in their life, when there is no microphone, when there is no stage, they are just who they are, hearing the voice of the Lord. I want to be around those kind of people. And Chris is one of those kind of people. I have a wife who's one of those people too, which is a joy, except it takes me by surprise at times, because what she comes out with, I'm thinking, wow, but that sounds like God. And so, as we were meeting together, pursuing the relationship that this prophet had said would exist for us in the kingdom, in the wider sphere than the church, Chris brought this word from Malachi 3:16, which I want to read out to you tonight. It says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name." Those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. And Chris began to beat the drum, which he has consistently done ever since, which I'm really very grateful for what the Lord was saying, that it's time for dialogue, not just monologue. It's time for talking to one another, hearing from one another what the Lord is saying, conversing of it through with one another in the presence of the Lord, because it is the body that he is the spirit, not just the leaders. If that upsets you, I'm sorry, but that's the reality. Because Jesus says in Revelation, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The only qualification is that you've got ears to hear. And God is looking for a people whose hearts are so connected to him in sensitivity and intimacy that they find it easy, that the bride finds it easy to hear the voice of her beloved. Because at the end of the day, it's all about a love affair between the Lord and his bride and between the Father and his sons, collectively men and women. And out of this intimacy, he's not looking to cajole us. He's not wanting a distant relationship with you that he speaks to you through leaders. He wants to speak directly to your heart. He wants the whispers of his voice to be caught by the sensitivity of your heart, so that there's something of the spirit that when the wind moves the cornfield and the corn just sways in line with the wind, God is going to have a people that are so attuned to him that we respond in unison to what the Spirit is saying. And it's not a matter of what leader you connected to, it's how you connected with Jesus by the Spirit to hear the voice of the Spirit to do what the Spirit is saying to do in these days. Yes. Can I say, there has to come a growing up in the body and a divesting of immature things. And it's okay when you're little to have immature things. It's okay for a two-year-old to have a dummy. But when they're 20 and they're walking around with a dummy, that is no longer cute. That's obscene. And God is wanting his bride to grow up so that she's not sucking on a dummy, dependent on something that's that's an artifact of childhood, but she's to be grown up.
Amen.
And hear me, I believe leaders are sent by God, but we were never ever meant to be dependent on leaders. We were to be dependent on the Spirit. And going to leaders to find out what the Lord wants. It's time for the bride to come to a maturity of hearing his voice clearly, because leaders, hear me right, leaders are important, but they are ministries sent by God to equip the saints, because the saints are the ones that do the works of service, not the leaders. And somewhere we get stuck. Sometimes churches get stuck in what they have known, and God is wanting to break us through into a new era of maturity. I am very grateful for the man who was my spiritual father. And some of you might have heard of him. His name is Bryn Jones. He used to say to me, Ian, the mature bride is going to look like the mature son. Amen. Our destiny is to become like him.
Yes.
Our journey is to be conformed to the image of the Son. So what the Son does and did, the bride does, but because he's gone to the Father and he continues to intercede for us and send his Spirit to us, and because the sons of God have become multiplied as a result of his sacrificial death, greater works shall we do.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In our day. Therefore, I cannot settle for what I have known. I am grateful for what I've known. I appreciate every touch of God, every revelation, every enlightenment I've received, every encounter. It's so precious. It's stored up in my heart. But this is all a springboard for what is to come. I believe God is breaking us into this new era. I just want to speak about one thing tonight as a foundation for where we go in the next 24 plus hours. God is supremely relational. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are ultimate reality. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the perfect family. They demonstrate how relationships but to be practiced. And all that they do comes out of relationship. So Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. The nature of God is to do things relationally. It is a corporate community that is the Godhead. And because he made us in his image and his likeness, he intends us to function exactly like he does. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The pandemic has had a deep effect upon people and society. But in his kindness, one of the things that the Lord has called time on in his body is lack of authenticity in relationship. He's called time on church that's performance. Where there is one thing in the week and another thing on the weekend, or another thing on a Wednesday night or whenever it is people meet. Because he is entirely authentic and he wants us to be authentic. Like I say, when the pandemic broke, we were living in Leicester. One of my dear friends, a church leader in the city, said to me, he sensed the Holy Spirit say to him, that the pandemic is going to bring a shift in the church from its infatuation with Greek culture back to its Hebrew roots. He said to me, Greek culture had the amphitheater in the center of every city. Because they were infatuated by theater, drama, and performance. Whereas the Hebrew society was centered and rooted and focused on family. And family is where we can be real and show up as us. Where I don't have to perform to be accepted. Where I can be the real me and be loved and accepted for who I am, and as a result, feel free to play my part. My part is never the whole, it's only a part. My part is to be a part that you can play your part, that others can play their part, that together the sum of the parts makes even a greater whole. And I am not against platform preaching. I don't want you to think that at all. But, oh, I believe it's time that the body starts functioning as a body where each member plays its part and everybody builds themselves up in love, because everybody's loved and valued and has a part to play, and we're not turning up with masks. We are divesting ourselves of the accoutrements of drama and turning up as the real deal. Where I can be real because I'm first of all learning reality from living in relationship with the perfect family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That being authentic in relationship means we're inviting heaven's family into our lives to live in us, through us, and demonstrate themselves to a world that's looking for authenticity. So, you know the sadness of the pandemic, where people were lonely and alone. And even in churches where we thought there was relationship, there was sometimes no show. There was nobody came. And so there's been a shaking and a shifting. Because God is saying, I want you to live from the reality of who I am for you, who you are in me. And I want you to relate, not on the basis of who you want other people to think you are. I want you to be the authentic you. And although the danger may be, can we go back to business as usual? The Lord, I don't believe, has given us permission. And what he is wanting us to do is that instead of having the desire to be a big church, he's wanting instead to create big people. Yeah. Big people who he can entrust with great vision. Big people who he can release great resources to, so that our going into society carries a salt and a light and a grace and anointing that breaks the yoke of where people are living. And that in the midst of the pain and in the midst of the challenge that the pandemic still provides, we are carrying a hope, faith, and love that communicates something of Jesus to the people around us. This is what East Yorkshire needs. I'm saying that because we live in East Yorkshire. But everywhere requires this. People are looking for authenticity. And I'm so honored to live in this time. We're not only in this nation, but because God has released us to work in the continent. People are opening up because they want the real thing. And they do not want to perceive one another after the flesh any longer, even though that's how the political parties work. How does UK see France? How does France see Germany? But what I'm finding is this, that in the presence of the Spirit, we are finding one another across the nations, even in the midst of Brexit. And I'm not going there in terms of a political persuasion. But all I'm saying is this, the bride of Jesus Christ is finding herself across the continent because the Spirit is greater than political persuasion. And people are finding one another and flowing with one another and seeing that there is to be one holy nation. The European bride is to rise in all her glory. I'm saying European because this is our continent. This is where we live. And what's more, other continents have experienced moves of the Spirit and revival. God is saying it's Europe's time. Yeah. It's for us to experience this move of the Spirit where the nations are no longer fractured. And I'm speaking when we're in a war zone for the first time in 70 plus years, but I still believe Europe is God's continent and he wants his glory to be demonstrated. And he's asking his people to align with him, with his purposes, because he wants to pour something new and fresh into our continent.
Amen. Yeah.
Where it starts is with me being authentic with who he is, who he's made me to be, so that I learn to develop authenticity in my relationships, and that the authentic begins to speak, not because I do a lot of talking, but I simply release another realm that is of heaven's dimension. Of course, this is a realm where love is released.
Yeah.
Where peace that passes all understanding can be a daily provision from God.
Amen.
How can you be peaceful when there's war on this continent? Because the peace is supernatural. It's not from a natural source. I'm not blasé about the war. I am in prayer every day for this to cease and for righteousness, justice, and peace to come to our continent. But I understand there is a process involved because God is doing some things, but he is still the God who makes wars cease to the end of the earth, according to the psalmist. And of course, we're releasing a joy that has nothing to do with our circumstances because it comes from above. And I might talk some more about this stuff tomorrow because this joy is such a powerful communicator of who Jesus is, who was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. And can I say this? Maturity is to do with having great joy. And this is why we have to divest ourselves of any religious thinking that true maturity is about being serious. True maturity is about being joyful and overflowing with joy that comes from the presence of the Lord, because in the presence of the Lord there is joy forevermore. And there's more, and there's more, and there's more that God wants to pour into us, so that we are becoming a people that are conduits of heaven's realm that get poured out. My sweetheart, I want you to say your favorite scripture these last few years, because this is what this dear prophet wife of mine has been saying for quite a number of years now. I think it's a real good time just for her to say.
It was November 2020 that God spoke this to me. I had no idea. I'm supposed to be a prophet. I had no idea a pandemic was coming at all. But Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19, it says, oh gosh, it's not made for people just over my foot, this. Forget the former things, thank you. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And whenever I've read it so many times, but in November 2020, it really wouldn't leave me. And God is saying, he says it twice, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And I just felt the Holy Spirit is saying, don't miss it. And but we there's things that we have to lay aside of the past. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Or as another version says, a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And if we want to embrace this new era, then first of all, we've got to pay attention and say, God, what do you want me to leave behind? And it could be great things that we thought were really good and worked well, but we've got to leave them behind because they don't fit now. And it's really funny because my eldest daughter will come round like every summer or winter and she'll go through my wardrobe. So that's great, Mum. It's a lovely dress, but really it's out of fashion now. You need to put it on one side. And then there's other things where she says, Mum, you're really not old enough for that. Get rid of it. It's like, but it's like these things are great, but they're not suitable for the new era. And, you know, I've had fresh revelation about things and tried to put them into practice. And it's like you're trying to fit them into an old culture. Wait and see what I am doing. And I just feel like there needs to be a time of pause while we hear what God is wanting to do individually and corporately in this new era, so we don't rush in to do things. And this is where we need dialogue. It's just not up to the leaders to say, this is what God is doing. We all need to hear from God what he's doing. And when he asks us to leave something behind, it's because he's got something better. And I remember years ago being in worship on a Sunday morning, and we're singing some song about surrendering all. And I had this picture of me coming up to God with this plate, and it was full, and it was my life. And in this picture, I knelt down and just held it up to him. And it's so funny because he stood me up, and then he went, right, that doesn't fit anymore. That doesn't suit you. And some of it I didn't know, and some of it were just habits I got into, or ways of thinking, ungodly beliefs about myself. But it's that doesn't fit, that doesn't suit you. Right, you can keep the rest. And I went back and I felt such a sense of freedom. But recently I've had the same picture, only God has taken things off, but the plate has been left with some stuff on, but it's really empty. And he's going, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to fill it with yet, because I want you to wait and see. There's things I want to do in you to prepare you for this new thing. But don't try and take on all that old stuff. And so, you know, I would encourage you even this evening to say, Lord, what is it I need to leave behind? And he says, do not dwell on the past. To dwell is to live somewhere. Yeah. And so, not just to visit, but to live. So, what is he asking you to leave behind? And like Ian says, sometimes you set off on a journey and there are problems in the promise. And so, we just need to be waiting on him and getting filled with him, and he will show us where we're going in this new era. And you know, Abraham left everything behind, everything he knew. When Ian said he felt like we're Abraham going on a journey, I said to him, there are no tents and no babies on this journey. I don't do camping. And but I don't mind all that stuff he had. But it's just, we are leaving behind a lot of what we know, and we're stepping out into something we have no idea about, but he does. So I'm just encouraging you tonight to say, Lord, what do I leave behind? What do I step out of? What doesn't suit me anymore? What doesn't fit for this new era that will be real, and so I can take on and walk in what is really good?
So I just want to bring this session to a close, and the one thing that we can bring to Jesus is our own lives, ourselves, our heart. That's exactly what the young lad did before Jesus did the miracle of feeding the 5,000 men plus women plus children, because he brought what he had to Jesus. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Is that the right way around? Yeah, I think it is, isn't it? 5 loaves and 2 fish, yeah. And he gave what he had to Jesus, so that Jesus could bless it and multiply it and feed others. In bringing what we have, that is the first step. And the second thing is this, that we say, Lord, I just want more of your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Passion Translation puts it this way, of Romans 8:14, where it talks about they who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. It says in the Greek, it's they and only they who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And there's always more of the Holy Spirit to receive. Always more. And why the Holy Spirit is so important is that he is the one who leads us into the truth. He is the one who directs us where we are to go. And when you look at the back end of the book in Revelation, the Holy Spirit has so trained the bride that the bride is saying the same thing as the Spirit, which is, Jesus, I want you more than anyone and anything else. And it's the Spirit that can train us to say what he's saying, so that together we are wanting to receive the fullness of all that Jesus is and to be. So I'd invite you to stand. And I'm inviting to do whatever you want in order to say, Lord, I give you my all over again. That all that you are and all that you have comes from him. None of us are self-made people. We are what we are by his grace. And that what he has given us, we now come to him to say, Lord, this is yours. I give you it. Belongs to you, it came from you, it belongs to you, and I yield who I am to you. And like the picture that Marge said, that she saw this plate in worship, and that the Lord was permitted to take things off it, it may be that the Lord is saying, this doesn't suit you any longer. This activity, this relational connection just doesn't suit you any longer, and I am wanting to align you with my perfect purpose. And allow him to do whatever he wants to do in this new era. And in opening our hearts to him, we're also saying, Holy Spirit, just want more of you. Come and fill us. Come and overflow us. Come and speak words of truth, words of intimacy, words of destiny, words of instruction and affirmation of identity into our hearts and lives, so that we are the mature sons who are led by the Spirit of God. We're like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But oh, there is such an effect when the wind blows through, when those that are led by the Spirit do what God has called them to do. And I pray that in this area of our United Kingdom, in East Yorkshire, I ask for a rising up of the sons, both men and women, sons of God, that have yielded hearts, that are yearning for more, that are drinking deeply of the outpouring of your Spirit. And I ask that there should be a time of transition, of transformation into a new era in this locality, that the glory of God should be released in this area. That people might know how wonderful Jesus is because of his glory seeping, being imparted, being released out of the lives of your people here. So Lord, we position, we align so that heaven can easily be released into earth, in and through our lives. We declare a new era.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tonight, it has been a bit of monologue for me. Tomorrow, I want us to shift into dialogue, where we will speak with one another, where we will talk with one another and hear what the Spirit is saying through one another and encourage one another through what the Spirit is saying to us, because it is the body that hears the voice of the Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for your attention.